Half an hour later, Avery was unpacked. All his gear was neatly stowed in a wall locker in his platoon leader's rack, a small room at the front of the barracks to one side of its screen door entrance. He could hear Healy at the back of the barracks, still pulling items from his duffels, humming to himself as he arranged them on his bed. "Hey, Staff Sergeant Johnson," the corpsman shouted. "You got some soap?" Avery gritted his teeth.
"Check the showers."
As painful as it was to have Healy now taking pleasure in Avery's previous order, tossing his formality back in his face, the staff sergeant was glad he could hear the corpsman through the walls of his room. Avery knew from experience that a large part of a drill instructor's job was simply keeping exhausted recruits from taking their frustrations out on one another, to be the focus of their anger and, if he did his job right, their eventual admiration. But Avery also knew that some days his platoon would return to their barracks pissed off and itching for a fight precisely because he'd ground them down. At least he'd be able to hear any commotion from his rack and be able to break it up before things got out of hand. "Look, it's only one night," Healy continued in a conciliatory tone. "If I can't get triage shipshape tomorrow, I'll just bunk with what's-his-name."
"You mean the captain?"
Avery asked. He threw a brown wool blanket over his bed. Regardless of the heat, he needed to show his recruits how to make a proper bed.
"No, the other platoon leader. Hang on, I'll check my comm."
Avery smoothed the blanket with wide sweeps of his palms. Then he started on the corners, tight hospital folds that would have made his own drill instructor proud.
"Burn," Healy hollered. "Staff Sergeant Nolan Burn."
Avery froze. His hands stuffed halfway under his mattress, the open coils of the bed frame bit into his palms.
"You know him?"
Avery completed the corner. He stood and reached for his pillow and case.
"Yes."
"Huh.
Did you know he was gonna be here?"
"No."
Avery stuffed the pillow with a practiced thrust.
"You two friends?"
Avery wasn't quite sure how to answer that.
"I've known him a long time."
"Oh, now I get it."
Healy's voice changed pitch, signaling an incoming jive.
"You lovebirds start spending too much time together, and I might get jealous."
Avery heard the corpsman snicker, then run the zipper of his duffel.
"So what do you think the story is with the captain's arm?"
But Avery didn't answer. He was focused on the loudening growl of a Warthog light reconnaissance vehicle's engine as it raced up from the highway. The Warthog came to a hasty stop outside the barracks door. Its engine roared and died, and soon Avery heard the crunch of approaching boots. Quickly, Avery paced to his locker, parted his neat piles of shirts and pants, and removed a patent leather belt with a bright brass buckle stamped with the UNSC Eagle and Globe emblem. Behind him, the barracks door swung open. Avery felt a chill on the back of his neck.
"That's a well-made bed,"
Staff Sergeant Byrne said.
"After a month in the hospital, you get an eye for that sort of thing."
Avery coiled his belt tight enough to hide it in the palm of his hand, shut the locker, and turned to face his former fellow squad leader. Byrne no longer wore the helmet with the silver mirrored visor he'd had on the day Avery failed to shoot the inny woman in the restaurant. The day Byrne had lost all the members of his squad. But he might as well have had it on. His ice-blue eyes were just as impenetrable.
"Because of all the changes," Byrne explained with a sneer. "Piss and shite all over the sheets because I was too doped up to control myself. When the nurses gave me new ones, they'd always tuck them in too tight. Or not tight enough."
"It's good to see you, Byrne."
"But that,"
Byrne continued, ignoring Avery's greeting.
"That's a well-made bed."
Fresh pink scars crinkled the Irish staff sergeant's already rugged face, evidence that his helmet's visor had shattered in the inny blast. A jagged stitch from a shrapnel injury ran from his left temple up and over his ear. His black hair must have burned completely away. Even though it was cut regulation short, Avery could see it was coming back in patches.
"I'm glad you're all right,"
Avery said.
"Are you now?"
Byrne's brogue had begun to thicken. After years of soldiering together, Avery understood exactly what that meant, but he wanted Byrne to know one thing.
"They were all good men. I'm sorry."
Byrne shook his head. Not sorry enough.